La asamblea escuchará.
The assembly will hear an address by His Excellency Mahmoud Abbas, President of the State of Palestine. I request protocol to escort His Excellency. On behalf of the General Assembly, I have the honor to welcome to the United Nations His Excellency Mahmoud Abbas, President of the State of Palestine, and I invite him to address the Assembly.
Four generations of our people are waiting for hope. Be careful, be careful, be careful. You should not ignore this generation and deprive them of this hope. I hope you do not deprive them of this hope. In the name of God, the most merciful and beneficent. Excellency Mr. Tijani Mohamed Bandi, President of the United Nations General Assembly. Your Excellency Mr. Antonio Guterres, Secretary General of the United Nations. Ladies and gentlemen, heads and members of distinguished delegations, may the peace, mercy, and blessings of God be upon you. A week before the recent Israeli elections, Israel's Prime Minister Netanyahu came out to arrogantly announce that should he prevail in the elections, he would annex and apply Israeli sovereignty to the Jordan Valley, Northern Dead Sea, and Israel's colonial settlements. Despite the fact that all these areas are occupied Palestinian territory, we reject entirely and completely this plan. Our response, if any Israeli government is to proceed with this plan, all signed agreements with the government of the occupation and any obligations therein will be terminated. In line with the previous decisions we have taken in this regard, and it is our right to defend our rights by all possible means, regardless of consequences, while remaining committed to international law and combating terrorism. And our hands will remain extended for peace through negotiations. However, anything else will be null and void if Israel, any Israeli government, Netanyahu, or any other Israeli leader will follow this plan that he announced a few days ago. In this regard, I thank all leaders, countries, and international organizations that condemned and rejected this declaration and Israel's illegal settlement activities as a whole, which constitute serious violations of UN resolutions and grave breaches of international law. We thank them all. They have reaffirmed that the Palestine question remains a central question for the international community, despite desperate attempts to divert attention away from this question. I ask you, ladies and gentlemen, what would you do if someone tried to take the land of your country and tried to erase your presence in it? How would you react? It is time for the international community to uphold its responsibilities to bring an end to this Israeli aggression and arrogance. It is time to implement at least one resolution adopted by you concerning Palestine. Otherwise, all these resolutions are pointless. I had hoped to come to you this year to proclaim together the end of this occupation, the Israeli occupation of my homeland, Palestine. But regrettably, I stand before you today bearing the same miseries and pain that has been endured for so long by my people, who, despite all that they have suffered of injustice, oppression, and occupation, still holds on to the hope of achieving their freedom and independence, as all other nations of the world do. I ask you once again, has the time not come for the emancipation of the Palestinian people and their freedom from this injustice, oppression, and occupation? Has the time not come? I ask you to ask yourselves this question. Ladies and gentlemen, your August Assembly granted the State of Palestine observer state status in the United Nations in 2012. We are grateful for this legal and moral stance, and we thank you for your principled position in support of our collective just demands to end the Israeli occupation of the land of the State of Palestine and to actualize its full and complete independence on the 4 June 1967 borders, along with a just and lasting solution to the question of the Palestine refugees, whose plight has been tragically prolonged. We thank you for your principled position, and we do hope that you implement this position so that it turns into a reality, so that it is translated into action on the ground. We also convey our deep appreciation to all countries and peoples that continue to provide support and solidarity to our people and our country, politically and economically, aimed at ending the occupation and building our national institutions, in addition to their continued support to the UN Relief and Works Agency for Palestine Refugees, UNRWA, pending a just and comprehensive solution to the plight of our refugees in line with international law. UNRWA was established to help Palestinians to address their problems, despite all that some have tried or have cut off all assistance to the Palestinian people through cutting assistance to UNRWA. Although UNRWA continues with its mandate, we are proud that the State of Palestine, despite the obstacles and policies imposed by the Israeli occupation and those behind it, has become a full member in and a state party to over 110 international instruments and organizations. It has received the recognition of 140 states from around the world. It is chairing this year the Group of 77 and China. It continues to competently assume its responsibilities at the regional and international levels as a resilient and constructive member of the international family, and deserves to be a full member of the United Nations and all of its bodies and agencies. I believe, after all we have suffered, we deserve to be a full member. Give me just one reason why we do not deserve to be a full member of the United Nations. Ladies and gentlemen, we accepted international legitimacy and international law as the framework and judgment to resolve our cause, and we have strived for and continue to seek a just and comprehensive peace. But the international law that we have accepted and held firm to, and the peace that we strive for, are now severely endangered, as a result of the policies and practices of Israel in our occupied land and its reneging on signed agreements since the Oslo Accords in 1993 to the present date. The responsibility for defending and preserving international law and peace is incumbent upon you. Israel has not implemented any agreement, and we do hope that you compel Israel to respect international legitimacy. Ladies and gentlemen, in Jerusalem, the occupying power is waging a reckless, racist war against everything that is Palestinian, from the confiscation and demolition of homes, to assaults on clergymen, to the eviction of our citizens from their homes, to attempts to violate the sanctity of the Holy Al-Aqsa Mosque and the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, to the legislation of racist laws. The national Jewish state law, these laws and these practices, we all thought that they ended with the apartheid in South Africa. We see that today we have similar laws, a similar law in Israel, discriminating against people based on their nationality and their race. And the world remains silent before these practices. They are denying worshippers access to the holy places. I caution against these policies and reckless measures, which will lead to dangerous consequences with unfathomable implications. The result will be a religious war. We want to avoid such a war, but Israel is making every effort to reach and to wage such a religious war. Israel, for months, has been confiscating a part of our returns. They are withholding our revenues, which is deepening the suffering of our people and preventing us from fulfilling our financial obligations towards them. This also exacerbates the economic crisis our country is enduring due to a lack of resources and the decision by some parties and countries to suspend their commitments towards us. Yet, the Palestinian people will not surrender to the Israeli occupation, regardless of the circumstances and no matter the pain, and will remain steadfast on their land, resisting occupation by all available means. Foremost, peaceful popular resistance. This is our legitimate right and our national and moral obligation. Let everyone know that occupation cannot bring peace or security or stability for anyone. Israel must not think that through occupation it can achieve peace on its land. This will not happen. Ladies and gentlemen, what is unfortunate and shocking is that the U.S. administration, a permanent member of the Security Council, instead of maintaining international peace and security and upholding UN resolutions, instead it is supporting the Israeli aggression against us, reneging on its international, political, legal, and moral obligations. The U.S. administration has even undertaken extremely aggressive and unlawful measures, declaring Jerusalem as the so-called capital of Israel and moving its embassy there. In a blatant provocation to the sentiments of hundreds of millions of Muslims and Christians for whom Jerusalem is a central part of their religious faith. Jerusalem will remain. Despite all of these measures, Jerusalem will remain the eternal capital of Palestine, regardless of any schemes or actions. The U.S. administration did not stop there, but also decided to close the representation of the Palestine Liberation Organization in Washington without any reason and some of its officials have claimed, in particular its ambassador in Tel Aviv, claimed that the Israeli settlements on our occupied territory are legitimate. They have decided that this is no longer an occupied territory. It is now an Israeli territory where Israel can build and construct whatever facility it wishes. That was a decision from the American ambassador in Israel, and we must follow this decision. No. The words of the U.S. and its ambassadors, we will not follow them. They're not written in stone. Moreover, it immorally and inhumanely terminated all of its contributions to UNRWA. Then, it somehow speaks of the so-called deal of the century and peddles deceptive and elusive economic solutions after, by its policies and measures, it destroyed all possibilities to achieve peace. I challenge the U.S. if they have any deal of the century in addition to what they have proclaimed. And what they have proclaimed is rejected. It is rejected. It is rejected. This U.S. policy has emboldened the government of the Israeli occupation to renege all signed agreements with us and its commitments towards peace, depriving the peace process of any credibility, pushing large segments of the Palestinian people to lose hope in the possibility of a long-awaited peace. It has jeopardized the two-state solution. And now many wonder if the two-state solution has become impossible. Can we have a one-state solution where everyone can live equally? Some are starting to wonder. They are asking. They are seeing themselves that Israel is seizing lands and putting an end to the two-state solution. So they are asking, is it possible to have a one-state solution? I will tell you, I am only for a two-state solution, and this is the only solution. This is international legitimacy. These are resolutions. Even the U.S. adopted the latest resolution, the Resolution 2334. This is the resolution I want to be implemented. I will not accept any one-state solution. I will not accept apartheid. We want a two-state solution based on international legitimacy. From our side, we have never missed an opportunity to hold serious negotiations with the Israeli side. We have constructively engaged with all initiatives. However, Mr. Netanyahu, has he ever agreed to negotiations behind closed doors, on a bilateral basis, multilateral basis? He never accepted any negotiations. We have both received several invitations from several countries to meet, to start the negotiation process. He has rejected that. The latest invitation from the Russian Federation, three invitations from the Russian Federation, and he has rejected those. They say Palestine doesn't want peace or negotiations. We say we always extend our hand to peace because we are convinced that peace will only be achieved through negotiations and through negotiations alone. Despite all of this, ladies and gentlemen, I renew the call for the convening of an international peace conference in line with the initiative I presented before the Security Council, in February 2018. A year ago, with the participation of relevant Arab and international stakeholders, countries from the EU, members of the quartet, they can all participate in this conference to reach a solution, including the permanent members of the Security Council and the members of the quartet, as I have mentioned, so that we can reach a plan based on international consensus, UN resolutions, with a defined time frame to end the occupation, achieve the independence of our state, and end the conflict. This is what we are asking for. And to be honest, we reject any negotiations shepherded by one country, and you all know this one country, whether the United States or any other country. We reject that. The United Nations should sponsor such negotiations and accompany such negotiations. However, the US or any other one country, we will consider them as biased. If you add the quartet or other countries, that is acceptable. Any other country, I'm not just talking about the United States. If one country comes and says, we want to solve this problem, we will not accept it. We will not accept the sole U.S. mediation. Ladies and gentlemen, from the outset, we have believed in democracy as a foundation for the building of our state and society. We have enshrined this in our constitution and exercised this on the ground. We have conducted general elections in 1996, 2005, and 2006. However, they stopped and they were paralyzed by the coup by Hamas in 2007. Since 2007, we have called for reconciliation and we have called for holding elections. Either way, upon my return to the homeland, I will call for regular local elections in the West Bank, in the Gaza Strip, and East Jerusalem. And anyone who opposes these elections will be held accountable before God and the international community. Ladies and gentlemen, we once again reaffirm our firm position, our condemnation of terrorism. We always say we can relinquish anything, but we will never relinquish our fight against terrorism. We have adopted a protocol alongside over 80 countries to combat terrorism around the world. And on this occasion, and given the recent attacks against oil facilities in the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia, we condemn these attacks and we stand with the Kingdom of Saudi Arabia and we support its decision and position. In conclusion, I salute all our Palestinian people in Palestine, in the refugee camps and diaspora and across the world, and express our pride in them. I tell them, we are confident that this occupation, like all occupation that preceded it, will inevitably end. Many countries have been occupied, including the United States. It was occupied once, and that occupation ended in Europe, in Africa, Latin America. We have seen many forms of occupation, and we say the occupation of Palestine will end as it has ended in other countries. And we will continue to call for respecting our rights. A right is never lost as long as someone strives to claim it. We salute our honorable martyrs, courageous prisoners, and wounded heroes. We salute their resilient families. We will protect your rights, regardless of the cost. I will not accept the claims of Israel. Even if I only have one penny left, I will give this penny to the families of the martyrs, to our prisoners and heroes, and I will not accept these demands. May the peace, mercy, and blessings of God be upon you.
On behalf of the General Assembly, I wish to thank His Excellency Mahmoud Abbas, President of the State of Palestine, for the statement just made. May I request representatives to remain seated while we greet the head of state.